Live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, we are. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we've been doing this thing now for the last few weeks, trying to gather up all the candidates that might be new to you. You need to get to know them, because if you're on your ballot, you need to know who they are. Well, right now, we've got a statewide race for an open seat on the Alabama Supreme Court. Justice Bolin is retiring. And we have two candidates running, a guy named Greg Cook will be on the show later in the week. And right now I'm about to bring on the other candidate running on the Republican ticket in the primary, Judge Deborah Jones, who has been practicing now for quite a while. She has been a circuit judge over in Calhoun County in Claiborne County, I believe, for 11 years. She got her undergrad degree from UAB. She's got her law degree from Cumberland School of Law. And most importantly, she's been married for 29 years and has five children. So, Judge Deborah Jones, thanks for calling into Right Side Radio. How are you?
Well, great. How are you doing? I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for spending some time with us. And this truly is just an opportunity to meet the candidates. And I sort of gave them the bio there. I think you probably heard me. But you're running for Supreme Court like you didn't have enough going on.
That's right. I tell you, the time of a circuit judge is always filled. It's a 24/7 job. You're on call for search warrants in the middle of the night and weekends, and you certainly have a full docket. And COVID has certainly, as it has with all other businesses, thrown the legal profession for a loop, and we're backed up. And now that we're able to bring juries in, we're able to catch up. So it's been crazy. We've had three jury trials this year, and as soon as this election is over, the next week, well, the primary is May 24th, and the next week I'll be starting a three-week capital murder trial.
Wow.
So there's no rest for the weary.
No, there's no post-election vacation for you, I guess, at that point.
That's right.
Well, Judge, listen, you're over in the circuit that handles Calhoun and Claiborne County, correct?
Yes, that's the 7th Judicial Circuit, and I've been on the bench now. I'm in my 12th year, and my assignments are criminal and civil jury trials, so I just love what I do. We stay busy. As a circuit judge, I have handled 76 jury trials and 18,000 felony cases and thousands of civil cases. So there's never a dull moment, but it's my passion. It's what I love to do. It's what I went to law school to do. Right out of law school, I started in the DA's office in the same circuit. So I have been in the same courthouse for 32 years now. And I started in the DA's office. I loved it. I was able to try jury trials as an attorney, a prosecutor. I've tried 25 jury trials, everything from rape, robbery, child sexual abuse, murder, to capital murder. And then I left the DA's office and started my own practice where I served the community for 16 years. And that allowed me to have a broad range of experience in all areas of law. I had an appellate practice. I did bench trials, criminal, family, civil, probate, just anything that anybody would need. And then in 2010, I ran for the circuit judge position and I was elected. And we have 6-year terms, and so I ran again for re-election in 2016, and I was elected. So this is my re-election year, but you can't run for your seat and an appellate seat simultaneously. So I vacated my seat, and there is someone who is running unopposed. There is not a Democrat or a Republican. Now, in this race, we have a Republican opponent, and that's Greg Cook, and we also have a Democrat. That's a judge, a family law judge in Montgomery, and her name is Anita Kelly. So we will go all the way until November for our race.
Well, I think one of the things that really strikes me there, Judge, I mean, aside from your experience, which I will say, too, as a practicing attorney, I'll just go ahead and say for the benefit of the audience, it's amazing how many cases don't come to jury trials. I mean, they either get settled out of court, they get resolved, or they go to bench trial. And to have provided over 75 jury trials, the reason why you're saying it that way is because that truly is a significant number, I would say.
Right, right. It is a lot. See, if you look at the 76 trials I tried as a judge and the 18,000 that I took guilty pleas on, you can see that we try a very small percentage. But once a month, we bring in a jury and we're busy all week long. And then the we also have grand juries. So we're doing 2 weeks out of every four handling jury trials.
Well, the other thing that really struck me, though, when you were just describing this, I did not realize that you're having to vacate your current seat. So you're all in. I mean, this race right now for the Supreme Court, you're leaving your job. You're going all in to get this one. Yeah. Well, that's huge.
Yes, it is that important. This is an open seat. As you said earlier, Justice Mike Bowen, he's reached the mandatory retirement age of 70. So right now, the makeup of our court, we have 9 justices. 2 are jury trial judges, and 7 are attorneys. We are way out of balance, and I believe I have a lot to bring to the court because the Supreme Court judges the trial judges in all 67 counties. So what I do every day, day in and day out, all day long, week after week, month after month, year after year, that is exactly what the Supreme Court is doing. They are judging what the trial judges are doing, the instructions that I give to the jury, the sentences, the summary judgments, the motions on evidence, everything that I do, I'm a court of record. And if any attorney does not like what I have done, then they have a right to appeal it to the Court of Civil Appeals, Court of Criminal Appeals, and ultimately the Supreme Court. So I bring a lot to the court knowing what's going on. The Supreme Court is no place for on-the-job training. So someone who's never been a judge has a disadvantage over someone who is a judge. Now, my Republican primary opponent is not a circuit judge. He is an attorney. And I believe I bring the wealth of experience of actually doing the job every day all these years to the Supreme Court. I have truly worn every hat in the courtroom. I have prosecuted capital murder cases. I have defended them. As a trial judge, I have sat in judgment and presided over those trials, and I've had to sentence them. So I think I'm the only candidate I know, but the only justice on the court now that can actually say they have worn every hat in the courtroom in a capital murder case.
Well, Judge, so let me ask you this. Okay. You know, in the judicial branch of government, you guys typically have to remain apolitical to an extent, although you're allowed to run on a party platform. What is it about you that makes you a Republican candidate for judge? And what do you think what is it you want to bring, aside from your experience, what is it you want to bring in terms of who you are as a person to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think it's important that we run in partisan elections because it's important to me as a voter and a person to know if I'm putting someone on the court that is going to share my values and interpret the Constitution the way that I believe it's been written. You know, right now we have 2 schools of thought. We have some, and mostly in the Democratic Party, that believe the Constitution is a living, breathing document, and it can be interpreted, in my words, manipulated to say anything they think it should say. I think that's terribly wrong. As a Christian conservative Republican, I believe that the Constitution means what it says, and it says what it means, and it's not for interpretation to twist and turn as we see fit. I mean, you know, it's like the Bible. You can take any scripture out of context and make it say what you want it to say. So we have to look at the whole document, the entire perspective, and I believe that we should interpret the Constitution as it is written. The last thing we need, we do not need judges making law from the bench. We have 3 co-equal branches of government, and the legislature should make the laws, and the judiciary should interpret them according to the Constitution, not as they wish they were written, but as they were, in fact, written, and make sure that they're constitutional. Now, I'm a pro-life candidate. I'm the mama of 5 grown children. I have 2 grandchildren. I had a preemie baby that was born at 2 pounds and 12 ounces when I was 6 months pregnant, about to start a capital murder case that Monday. I went into labor that weekend before my trial started.
Oh,
I can tell you that little baby fit in the palm of my hand. My husband's wedding ring went all the way up to from his little foot up his leg to his hip and twirled. And I could see that he was fighting for his life, for his breath, for his food. And, you know, he just had such a personality. He's well and a very healthy adult now. We've been married for 30 years, and he was our second son. So he's, you know, very healthy and well, no problems at all. But I'm going to tell you, life is very important to me. It's near and dear to my heart. I think we have gone way too far in creating a right of privacy that gives women the right to kill their unborn children. And the body of law in Alabama is otherwise. You can sue someone now if they, like if a drunk driver hit and killed your unborn child. You have a cause of action in our courts for the wrongful death of that baby before it is born. And that also extends to medical malpractice and other types of wrong. And we have another area of our law. It's called chemical endangerment. And as a circuit judge, I have to use this all the time in my courtroom. If a mom tests positive for a drug, or if the baby is born positive and tests positive for a drug and the mom is too, then that is a felony punishable up to 5 years in prison. And when the mothers are pregnant, when they go and if they fail a drug test at their OBGYN office, that's a mandatory reporting. And then DHR, the welfare arm of the state, gets involved to provide services. But it's a criminal offense. And sometimes those women go to rehab. Sometimes they go to jail. But we have to do whatever we can do to make sure those babies are born safe. And, you know, we see so many times when they're born, they are shaking and trembling. You know, you've heard the term, those crack babies, they have opioid addictions, and it's just pitiful. But the case now from Mississippi has already been argued by the United States Supreme Court. And I firmly believe that when that opinion comes out, they're going to return it to the state. And the state Supreme Courts will get to decide that issue. And that would just be wonderful for our families and the law of the land. It would be consistent with what our body of law is in Alabama now.
Well, Judge,
that's one of the
passion.
Things that's very important to me. And I would love to sit on the court that writes that opinion. And it's around the corner.
It is around the corner, and you're exactly right, and it'll be up to the states. But, Judge, we are up against the break, and I want to thank you for your time today, and I want to thank you for throwing your hat in the ring, and I also certainly appreciate the fact that you went all in and you said, I'm willing to leave what I've got to go there. And so thank
That's
you for
right.
that. All right, Judge Deborah Jones, running for the open seat on the Alabama Supreme Court. We appreciate you being on Right Side Radio. You have a great day.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right, folks, there's one of your candidates. She will be on your ballot no matter where you live in this state. It's a statewide election for the Alabama Supreme Court. You got Judge Deborah Jones on the Republican primary, and the other candidate, Greg Cook, I believe, is on tomorrow. So, yeah, meet the candidates. You got to know who's running. Well, you heard her passion. You heard her background. You'll hear Greg Cook's tomorrow. You got to know these folks because they're the ones going to be making decisions that will affect your day-to-day. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.